All right, welcome aboard. It's the Dennis Stuckey Show here on WPHM on a Wednesday afternoon into the evening. No games tonight, but coming up at 7 o'clock, from 7 until 8, our friends at the Michigan State Network have their NCAA preview show, so we'll air that for you coming up at 7 o'clock right after the show this evening. We're here till 7. Expecting the Prowlers at 5:30 because it's a Wednesday and it's been a long, long time since we have had the Prowlers appear on the show. So it'd be fun to get them back. Got some not so good news from the NCJAA, National Junior College Association Athletic Association. National Championship Tournament for them. John Wood defeated SC4 today, 71-65. That despite the Skippers getting 23 points from Derek Johnson and 21 points from Omari Duncan. And my boy Tim Baker got in at the end, but didn't take any shots and didn't score any points. I'll talk to him about that when he gets back. They will head over to the consolation bracket of the tournament, and they play again tomorrow at 4 o'clock against Pima Community College, but John Wood, which is a school out of the Illinois area, so almost a home game for him, because that's fair, because the games are in Danville, wins by 6 today, 71-65 over the Skippers at the national tournament for junior college basketball. But congratulations at any rate to Dale Voss and his team for even getting to that event and for being ranked all season long. It has been a very good season for the Skippers. All right, I believe that this is Bobby McKillop on the line. That you, Killer?
Yeah, that's me, Stuck. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I haven't talked to you in a long time.
Yeah, no kidding. Seems like forever.
I know that we're warming up for a great golf season. Is Tiger going to win a major this year? I know you're going to say yes.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, when you watch the last couple events that he was in and kind of how he's going through his process, obviously he made an uncharacteristic quad at 17 when he kind of had things rolling, but it isn't what he's not doing, it's what he's doing. He's able to right the ship, his irons look great, his driver seems to have that under control. It just kind of seems like he's just not able to put everything all together. I honestly believe that he's gearing up. Obviously, two of the majors this year are being at two really good places for him, one being obviously Augusta, where he's won four times the Masters, Pebble Beach, where he's won a U.S. Open title and won several Celebrity Classic titles out there, AT&T at Pebble Beach, Bethpage Black, another tournament that site he's had. So it's setting up for him. If he's going to do it, this year would be the year that he would kind of get himself going. And I firmly believe, and again, this is just me, if he finds a way to get it done one time in any one of these majors, I think it brings Jack's record back into play. Not only because he would be three away, but because his confidence in who he is. Listen, I don't care what anybody wants to say out there. He is Tiger Woods. He will find a way to get it back. He just will. Once he gets a taste of that victory, once he gets a taste for that, once he gets himself back in that arena and he really starts to thrive, I think it's endless for him. His putting's been terrible. He seems to be riding the ship there, and I think he's setting himself up for it. So for me, I do believe he'll win one, if not two, this summer.
I guess the bigger question for me is how healthy is he and can he stay healthy?
Well, I think he's being real cautious. I think the neck thing was just more out of him being cautious. Obviously, when you have a back fuse like he does, the power of inertia needs to go somewhere. That power needs to go somewhere, and now it's just kind of transferring up into his neck. I think that was just more of a cautious thing for him. I think he's going to be really smart with his schedule. He's just committed to play the World Golf Championship match play down in Austin, Texas, an event he hasn't played in years. He's committed to playing that. That means he'll get at least three rounds under his belt. Not sure if he's going to play again before Augusta after that point. Probably not. But I think his health isn't an issue. I think people are making more of it than what it really is. He just decided, you know what, if I'm going to take an event off, even though it was Bay Hill where he's won eight times, Arnold Palmer's tournament, I think he was really trying to set himself up for this run that he's on right now.
All right, changing topics here. Do you have a bracket?
I do not have a bracket. And the only reason why I do not have a bracket is because, and this is a question you and I could talk about for a second. Who does the seeding?
It's not basketball people.
Okay, there's no way it's basketball people.
It's not basketball people.
So it's athletic directors, conference chairmen.
I think there are people who aren't even associated with the NCAA that are involved in that.
Okay, well, whoever does that is just, I mean, I don't understand. So, but that being said, how do you run away from Duke? How do you run away from North Carolina? How do you run away from a, you know, like, is Virginia going to go down the same road they went down last year? The only number one seed to lose to a 16. I don't know.
I got a feeling that's not going to happen 2 years in a row to them.
No, I think they've learned a lot for sure. But again, you know, the beauty about the NCAA tournament, and this is the best time of year for basketball, obviously. But the beauty about the NCAA tournament is simply anybody. I don't care. You just need a ticket to the dance. Athletically, anything can happen. You take a look at Texas Tech. Texas Tech blew out West Virginia by almost 40 points at home in their building, at home in Raider Nation in Texas Tech. And then in their conference tournament, West Virginia came back and beat them by 10. So, I mean, it's just who's on that given night or whatever. So anybody can win. But historically, at least one or two number one seeds are going to find themselves in the Final Four. That doesn't look good for Michigan, and that doesn't look good for Michigan State.
Yeah, I think the Spartans kind of got hosed a little bit. I talked a little bit about this yesterday with Matt Shook, who was on the show. First off, all year long, everybody's been talking about the Big Ten is the toughest conference in basketball this year. And here's the team that won the regular season championship and won the Big Ten tournament. And the best they can do is get a two seed and get shoved in with Duke. Whereas, again, here's the ACC with the three number one seeds. I think they could have given North Carolina's number one seed to Michigan State, and I think they should have.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, and here's my argument. My argument is not only did they win the regular season of the Big Ten, not only did they win the Big Ten, but they had some non-conference pretty big wins. I mean, don't look at the record. They competed against some really good basketball teams early and then competed against some really good basketball teams late. But they are a team. If you want to take a look at who they are, it isn't who they were in the first game of the year, Duke, in the second game of the year, North Carolina. It isn't that. It's who they've been over the last month and a half. And over the last month and a half, there hasn't been a better team in basketball. So that being said, and then they run and win the Big Ten. Didn't get it handed to them. They took it. They beat Michigan three times in the last month. I mean, what conversation are we having? I know you're giving the ACC its props, and trust me, they deserve it. But the basketball people need to step in here, and we need to redo the seating. We need to grab a hold of that. It's kind of like, in my opinion, it's kind of like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I mean, the people who vote for the Rock and Roll, are you kidding me?
Well, again, I've said for years, stop calling it the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Just call it the Music Hall of Fame, and then I'm all right with everything that they do and have ever done. But if you're going to call it the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, then I just want rock and roll acts in there.
You mean you don't want Grandmaster Funk and them in there? You
know? Not to take anything away from their music or their accomplishments. It's great. Put them in the Music Hall of Fame or put them in the Funk Hall of Fame.
No, I agree.
I won't complain if you don't put Led Zeppelin in the Funk Hall of Fame because they belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Hey, yeah, you're preaching to the choir, right? So I think NCAA, their seating system, I think over the last couple of years you've seen some flaws in that. And I think Michigan State got hosed in a big, bad way. And, yes, you throw them in with Duke, that's even – yeah, I mean, Tom Izzo was talking about it yesterday. I mean, what more did we need to do not to be in the position we're in? I don't know. So,
all right, let's talk a little NHL before I get rid of you. Your Leafs look like they're going to play Boston again. Doesn't it seem like they play each other every single year?
Wow. I mean, it's the East is just so strong. the East is so strong. Boston, Toronto, Tampa, Washington, throw Pittsburgh in there. I mean, at any given time, it doesn't matter who you play against. You're going to go up against the juggernaut. I don't think any matchup the Leafs could have drawn would have put themselves in any more of a favorable position. I do like the fact that they're going up against them again. It's some familiarity for these younger players. They've been there, done that. They lost in Game 7 2 years ago. I think this is an opportunity for them to kind of right the ship. However, if I'm being honest, things haven't been going well for them. They're not playing well. They just got Kadri back from a lengthy concussion. Some of their better players aren't playing well at this point. They gave up 6 goals the other night against a bad, bad Ottawa team. But I think they're just kind of going through that end of the year. Playoffs are coming. We're not really fighting for any kind of spot of choice. Looks like we kind of know where we're going to be. Let's just get to the playoffs. And, oh, by the way, we're going to stink as we do it.
Let's go beyond this year, because I think this is an important playoff for Toronto, because
huge.
Obviously the offseason will be an interesting one north of the border, because they're going to have some financial stuff to figure out. And I don't think they're going to be able to keep everybody.
You see, I don't even want to have this conversation because it makes me sad. So I'm not going to have this conversation. I'm going to think about what we're trying to do, and what we're trying to do is give ourselves a chance to win the Stanley Cup. There is no question this hockey team is not going to look the same. Patrick Marleau won't be there. I think another couple high-end guys won't be there. You're hoping that the success you've had with the Toronto Marlies, their American Hockey League, a team that won the championship last year and is on another good run this year, you're hoping that some of these young guns can come up and fill some voids that are going to be left. But as you know, it's more about the chemistry than it is the talent. When you have the talent, the chemistry is second to none. And don't downplay Patrick Marleau's role in the development of the young talent. The Nylanders, the Kapanens, Mitch Marner rides to the rink with them every day, Austin Matthews. I mean, he's been a big piece. You can't keep him. There's just no way. Unless he were to take a massive, massive pay cut to stay there, there's no keeping him. And there's four or five other guys that are on that same mold. Now, however, I mean, you know, Kyle Dubas, the youngest general manager in the history of the National Hockey League, he's a numbers guy. He's got all this stuff in his head. He's played this 14 different ways. You don't sign the contract that Nylander signs as a GM unless you've got a game plan. I don't know what it is. I have no clue what it is, but I'm hoping, I'm praying that he's got something up his sleeve where he's kind of analytically done something to put himself in a position to be successful. However, I'm on your page. This is a huge, huge playoff run for the Toronto Maple Leafs. This is a playoff run that they need to go deep into the playoffs. Don't kid yourself. I don't care about the talent level around them. And they are in the toughest spot out of anybody because the East is so tough. Look at, if you're going to win this thing, you're going through Tampa, Boston,
Washington, Pittsburgh.
Washington, Pittsburgh. I mean, come on. I mean, what conversation are we having? It's not like they're going through the West. I mean, you do not want to be a team in the East right now. You just don't. But I think they have the guns to do it. I think they're going to need some luck to make it happen. 12 games is not an easy thing to do. To get yourself in that spot, and they're going to have their work cut out for them. But this is the best opportunity they've had. They haven't won the Cup since 1967. Since I've been alive, I've never seen it. So this is, if I don't see it in the next 4 years, I mean, I may never see it. So I'm hoping. You know me, I'm hoping.
Here's the scenario, McKillop. It's going to happen like this. Nylander will end up in Detroit. The Wings will give up Zadina and Veleno. The Leafs will win 10 Stanley Cups. And Holland will send Nylander to Grand Rapids for more seasoning because he's too young.
God, I miss you, Stuck. I really do. You know, when I've been walking around not having your voice in my head, you and I have been around each other in a while. I walk around, I have so much peace. So much serenity thinking about what's happening with the Detroit Red Wings and what's happening with the Toronto Maple Leafs. And then, boom, back I come and I get back to reality where there's a possibility that things just may not be turning out the way that I think they might here in Detroit. But You know, it's been painful to watch them. I liked what I saw out of Zadina in his 9-game stint. I don't like what I've seen out of other players.
Oh, I'm really disappointed in Mantha, but that's a talk for another time. And he will re-sign Nyquist during the offseason, and Cronwall will be back for another year.
No, he will not. No, he will not. No, he will not. He will not be signing Nyquist to an extension. He will not be signing Nyquist, period. And Cronwall, even though he has the right of refusal, I think the organization is just going to force him out. I think it's time for him to go. But, it's going to be painful here for a little bit, for sure. My opinion, Howard was they had a chance to move him and get some more depth with young talent, both proven and draft picks. They didn't do it. I'm not sure. Again, and this is a conversation for maybe tomorrow if I end up showing up there tomorrow. It depends what I got going, but I'd like to show up there tomorrow. This is something maybe we can talk about. I mean, what is the future in the GM position for the Detroit Red Wings? Is Kenny Holland coming back, or is Stevie Y going to step up and take over?
Well, there are varying opinions out there, and I'm sure we'll hear them all. All right. I got to let you go, killer, but thanks as always.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. Hopefully I'll see you tomorrow. I'll let you know.
All right.
Thanks.
Let's see you. There's Bobby McKillop joining us on the program today, and we've got to take a break. He loves when I give him my crazy scenarios, but I put nothing past the most overrated general manager in the history of the NHL. Nothing past him. All right, we'll take a break and be right back.